and thank you for joining us for yet another episode of That Solo Life, the podcast for PR pros and marketers who work for themselves. I am Michelle Kane, and my company is Voice Matters, and I am here as ever with my fantastic co-host, Karen Swim. She is the leader of the pack that is Solo PR Pro. How are you today, Karen?
I am doing really great, Michelle. Thank you. How are you?
I'm good. You know, well, by the time this posts, we'll be climbing out of the first month of 2021. And just, you know, there's change in all directions, but it feels like, you know, positive, sparkly change, which, you know, really led us to our topic today of, you know, work-life, not balance. Oh, no. Work-life fluidity.
Yeah.
You know, we've been hunkered down for months.
Yes, I'm so here for the work-life fluidity. I think work-life balance is so it's so old school. Like, you know, it's interesting. I read a Fast Company article that mirrored sort of what I was thinking internally and sort of have been moving to. It's that, you know, the old style of working, you know, you came to work at 8 or 9 o'clock and you worked all day. And I think as, you know, business owners, we all know that we don't have to do that, but we still fall into that system because we're mirroring what clients are doing. But it's time, like, can we just drop that? Can we move away from that? And maybe we set the tone. I think the workforce at large is starting to shift and to make some changes, and they're starting to realize that their definition of productivity is out of whack. Like, it's not necessarily productive. You don't have happy, healthy, whole, or high-performing people when you are, like, chaining them to a desk for 6 hours a day. There's no time to do deep focus work, which is really what you hired them to do. I'm always, like, taken aback by the statistics that show how much of the workday people are actually spending on communications like email and Slack rather than doing the job that you actually hired them to do. So you pay talented people, you know, like us, you pay your people to actually do strategy and to, you know, achieve your objectives, but then you invite us to, you know, 22 meetings in a month. When are we supposed to do deeper? When are we supposed to sit down through strategy? When are we supposed to be able to sit down and do the creative work that is, you know, a part of what we do? It's after hours. And it's just a dumb system. And I am rejecting it in 2021.
Right. I have this conversation with myself so often because, you know, part of me is still ingrained in that mentality of, okay, I want to be at the desk when I'm available for my clients. But at the same time, like you say, and I think it also has to, it falls into the area of, you know, what comes, I'm going to say easy to us, not easy to us, but, you know, there's a reason why we do what we do for a living. It's because, yes, we do have an inclination to do it well. And with that comes a little bit of ease. A colleague of mine, actually a former business coach she's still a business coach, but I worked with her at the beginning and I loved what she said. You know, there's ease in your expertise, like lean into that. Don't run away from it. Anyway, sidebar.
Ooh, that's good.
Right.
Good.
Yeah. So sometimes, okay, yeah, if I can turn around and edit with relative ease, that doesn't mean that I don't need time, like you say, to do the deep thinking, the strategic thinking. That's not like, you know, in my grumpier moments, I will say, I'm not McDonald's. Like, you can't just drive up to me and order fries and expect them to come out piping hot in 30 seconds. Like, you know, communications doesn't work that way. And I think it's that, as you say, it's that fluidity of making sure we have that time for the deep dive work that also aligns with when we're at our best. I know we talked about this off air a little bit. Like, one day I didn't sincerely begin what I would consider at my desk working until, like, you know, 10:45, 11 o'clock. And, you know, good girl 9 to 5 me is, like, horrified by that. But, you know, the professional who knows, well, okay, 11 to 5 or 6 or so. Yeah. You know, I'm pretty much going to be you know, going through the things that I need to do. And guess what? That's perfectly acceptable. So, you know.
Yeah. You know, the Fast Company article, and I highly recommend that you all seek it out. I'll find the title and shoot it off, and we'll put it in our show notes. But
yeah,
the article really talked about, you know, these old silos of life's work needing to be siloed. And so it called it out in such a way that I'm like, you're right. Like, you have these, you know, we're all like working so hard, racing towards these 2 days in a week where we cram in our life. And, and they were saying, like, what would be wrong if you spent more time on your life every day? And then maybe even on the weekends, that means like a little less family time, but it's a little less family time as you're, you know, maybe getting things done in a time that works for you, but it won't matter because now it's not like Saturday's the only time of day that mom and dad have to spend with the kids, or you have to spend with your loved ones and your friends. If you do that consistently throughout the week. And it just made sense to me. Like, our lives, we sort of put them on hold. And I even know some that won't do doctor's appointments or, you know, nail appointments or, you know, all of the other things that we want to do until after hours or the weekend. And that, I think that that's way more stressful. So why not structure our days for life plus work? Instead of, you know, this mindset of Monday through Friday is work and work only during these hours. That and I mean, I know that sometimes some solos will take time during the week, but you feel like you're taking time. You feel like it's PTO. You don't feel like, well, this is my norm. You know, hey, on this day, I'm going to work 2 hours and then I'm going to go to a museum. Or, you know what? I'm going to spend this day reading a book. That's just, you know, and to me, those things enrich your work life. Like, we are a whole person. We're not segmented. And every part of you, if you bring every part of you to your whole life, I just think that it makes for a much healthier, mentally healthy, and just professionally and personally healthy person.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. And it is, I will also be honest and say, it is the hardest, one of the hardest things for me to do, because you still have that feeling of, oh my gosh, I'm away from the office for 2 hours and I'm not working. And what did I miss? Don't look at your email. No, I'm going to look at the email just to make sure I don't, you know, because, you know, partly sometimes the nature of our business is timely. Sometimes things will pop up that, you know, someone might need right away, like, oh, can you handle responding to this review, or, you know, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, how often is that going to coincide with a regularly scheduled time for you? And I so agree, making that time to just read words written by someone else that aren't in a newspaper. You know what I mean? Like, that isn't work related, or even if it is, something to enrich an area that you want to get better at, or, you know, learn more about, or, you know, just that beach read that you haven't gotten to. Looks at herself in January that she still didn't finish the summer book. Anyway,
taking that, you know, 2 hours to have peaceful work time where you are, you know, and I mean, this is not, you know, because we've been working this way for so long, it's really ingrained. So this is like a huge behavioral change.
Massive.
But I think that you could do it in baby steps. And it really kind of starts with looking at your entire week. And instead of thinking about it like, these are work hours and these are off hours, looking at your days as a whole day and planning your whole day, and not saying, oh, I have to work from, you know, 8 to 5 or 9 to 6 or whatever. Yes, you have meetings. And, you know, for those, unfortunately, we've got to coordinate with other people. I wish everybody would just do what I say and meet when I say that I want to meet.
Right. And not 8 a.m.
happen. you know, I have control over some of that, but you know, some of them have to play nice with others. But so you have your meetings and that's a part of your life, but what other life things are you working into your days? Are you really living a full life, or are you just grinding? and then limping towards Friday going, oh my God, you know. And then on Saturday, you're so tired that you could barely even enjoy this, the life that you set aside, you know. Yeah. And then for a lot of us, then you're working on the weekends too, because yeah. you're trying to catch up because you didn't allow any of that during the week. So yeah. I think it's first, like, really just kind of making that mental shift. Like, this is my whole day. I have 24 hours. We all have that same 24 hours. How am I going to plan my day around work and life and incorporating those things and not segmenting them? You know, try, you know, if it's hard for you, try picking one day of the week. Maybe it's a day that's a natural day that you're light on meetings, and try organizing it a little bit different and see if that works for you and build up that habit. Because, you know, I've been doing this slowly over time, and I got to tell you, it just, and I'm not fully there, but it's less stressful. And mm-hmm. the thing that I did get really serious about last year is blocking out time to think. Sometimes that means that I'm really not working on anything, but I am, because I'm thinking, you know. I just, you have that time where it's like, you're not on the phone, you're not reading emails, you're not, you know, working on, you know, media. You're just sitting and you're allowing your mind to think, and you're thinking mm-hmm. through clients, you're thinking through, you know, you're allowing yourself to be creative. I got to tell you, it's made a huge difference, because you start to see things like, you know, during those quiet times, I can see like, oh, you know, why am I doing it this way? This is a better way to do it. Or why am I adding all these extra steps? Hey, I could do this. Or, oh, hey, I just thought of a creative way to, you know, solve this client problem. But we can't do that when we're like this all the time at our computers. And it's like, yep. Oh, I'm on Zoom. I'm doing this call. Okay. Oh, got that deadline. Okay. I'm pitching the meeting. Did you pitch that guy? Oh, did that guy follow up? You know, and I feel like sometimes that's, I mean, guilty.
It's so true. It's so like, true.
But like the energizer ring. Okay, I'm doing that. Oh, yeah, I got that. Oh, Slack. Oh, okay. I'm on Slack. I'm on Skype. Okay, I'm over here. Yeah. Oh, I forgot to do social media today.
Yeah, it's so true.
When do you think?
Yeah, it's so true. I mean, and we all fall prey to it, right? And even to pop back to what you said about, you know, just, you know, parsing out your week, because when you do grind like that, I know for myself, you know, by Thursday or Friday, if I've been grinding it too hard and just making myself like, just do it, okay? Because you don't want to do this on Saturday. You find yourself yeah. too tired to even deal with it. And guess what? You end up doing it on Saturday anyway. So take the time for yourself. Even if it's, you know, try this. Even if it's as simple as knowing that you should stand up once an hour, like take a yeah. walk around the house. I have found that that's when things will come to me of like, oh, right. I should really add that to that Facebook ad. Yeah. Why didn't I think of that? Cause you're like you said, you're sitting there like, you know, making all the things happen, and it's not normal. And yet you know, we surely can't be alone in being the ones doing it to ourselves.
Try it. We promise you we'll share some tools in the notes, because it honestly, the other thing that this Fast Company article, and there's tons of studies on this, is that we are not very productive right now.
No.
And so let that reality set in, that, you know, trying a new way can only help you, because the way that we've all been working is not working. It's broken. And so it is something that we can fix. And I mean, you know, for me, I grew up with parents that were from the Midwest, and they were, you know, I have that Midwestern work ethic instilled in me. So I feel a little bit like a hippie. And I always think, oh my God, if my mother was alive, you know, she would think, what are you doing?
Right.
Your work hours are what? You know?
Right.
What's going on?
Yeah. Guilty. Got that Quaker Pennsylvania German, like,
yeah,
you must work. You're like, well, yeah. And, or as my poor, yeah, my grandmother would say, like, when I was going to leave one of my jobs for another opportunity, she's like, but they were so good to you. I'm like, yeah, but that doesn't mean I have to stay forever.
Yeah. Thank God we fixed. I thank God for the younger generation fixing that. Like, no, you do not have to stay at a job until they give you a gold watch. Please do not do that to yourself.
I'm like, oh yeah. I'm like, yes, and I appreciate that. However, guess what?
Yeah.
That's in the infamous words of Don Draper, that's what the money's for. Anyway, but it's, yeah, I mean, it's, it can be a really tough habit to break, but the one, you know, not that you hate to say there are good things that come out of a pandemic, but I think any trial, you can learn things. And I think if anything, it is teaching some segments of corporate America that, yeah, chained to a desk all day, not necessarily the most productive way. And yes, you can trust your internal employees to accomplish their daily work. And it doesn't have to be, you know, being a desk jockey all day.
Absolutely. You know? I think now is the time to master the future of work, because it's really here. And corporations, especially coming out of this pandemic, they're looking at more of a blended workforce, which means on-premise and remote, but it also means integrating people like us, you know, right, micro agencies and solos into their talent mix. And so I think learning to master your productivity and your schedule and not putting your life on hold for work, but seeing it as, you know, a fluid rather than siloed way of living can work in your favor. And I think that we can set the tone and teach other people how to be more productive. We can be our own case studies and we can lead our clients into this new landscape because it is changing. And I, again, I think, you know, I credit millennials also with this, with demanding more of life itself. You know, they are all about experiences and meaning and value. And so they're looking at some of the old systems and going, well, that's stupid. Mm-hmm. And, you know, while I may not agree with every opinion, I do think, and smarter minds than I agree, that what we're doing right now is really not working in our favor.
Right. No, it's so true. And, you know, with that, I think comes the shift of value versus hours put in, you know, and I think that might be the largest lesson for corporate America to learn, because I would imagine, you know, if you're working in a big corporation, your fear would be, oh my gosh, but if I'm working less time, are they going to dock my pay, this, that, and the other? And it's like, you would sincerely hope, and I have to say I'm a little cynical about this, you would sincerely hope they wouldn't say, well, you know, it only took you that much time to do that, so this is how it's going to go. You know, if you'd like to get away from that, it's like, yes, but the value I bring to this, the experience I bring to this, the fact that, oh, it was done right the first time, I'm going to get penalized for that? Really? Oh, okay. So I'll just be mediocre. I mean, that's a whole other conversation to have, and that's kind of why, partly why we're solos.
Yes, it is. I mean, and I mean, for us, it's really, you know, really leaning into many of the reasons that we started our own business. We're not taking advantage of it. And so I do think that we're in a great position, and there's no one, you know, I say this to my colleagues and we support one another, and Michelle and I have had these conversations as well. You just have to reinforce that for one another and remind each other, like, it's really okay. Like, go do that appointment, go sit down and read a book. I mean, go to the beach, for God's sake, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's why we did this. We are in charge. It is our business and you get to run it the way that you want to run it. And our clients are not our bosses. They're not our masters. We are in a cooperative relationship. And that's my dog, by the way. So
hey, that's okay. Look, we can hear Major and Champ during a press briefing. All bets are off. All the dogs can bark now. It's all good.
The dogs can bark. They're all warm.
Yeah, I mean, ask yourself, when's the last time you just took a plain old mental health day? I honestly cannot remember. And I think I'm due.
I built them in my calendar this year. I'm like, we are not going to leave this to chance, because 2020 did teach me some lessons and I'm trying to make those stick.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. You know, don't be afraid you're going to miss something, or, you know, you'll get everything done. It'll all be okay.
And so, a perfect example, yesterday I had a personal appointment outside of the office during the middle of the workday, noon. And there were just like these requests coming in, like threatening my time. And I said no to something, and I was like, I'm not going to be around. And I let one of my team members take it. Yeah. Really, she was the most important person for that particular meeting anyway. I didn't really need to be Perfect. There.
Yeah.
So I went off and I did my thing and enjoyed it. And turns out didn't even happen. They rescheduled it. And the lesson to me was, the old you would have completely like rearranged your whole day for this particular person and not said, hey, you know what, I'm not available at that time, and not mm-hmm. put yourself first, when I have every right to do that. And then you would have ended up not having your thing happen, and then not having this meeting happen, and you've rearranged your whole day for this one person. And so I know that everyone that's listening to this can relate to that exact situation. How often have you rearranged a day only to have somebody change the schedule at the last minute and updo all your plans?
Right.
Updo. I can't think of the word. I need more coffee.
Undo. Unravel. Undo. I was like, are you getting an updo? Was it a hair appointment?
Upend your whole plan.
Upend. There we go. That's the one.
Hello, folks. I'm Karen Slim. I'm here all week.
Oh, my goodness. But yeah, we just encourage you, if we could leave you with one thing, just take one day out of your week next week. Take a look at it. Try and incorporate something that will make you, and you know what, here's the thing, rely on think about how that day will feel when you do it that way, right? So you won't be all like, oh, is that person going to text me? Is that person going to call me? And I don't know, I don't want to jinx myself, but I think I've kind of broken myself of that. I'm like, you know what, if they do, they do. I will get back to them. So, you know, turn off your drive-through window light, and just try to arrange a day that could be, you know, one of the reasons you went into business for yourself in the first place. And sometimes oftentimes we do have to take the time to remind ourselves of that. So we want to hear from you. Hit us up at soloprpro.com. Tell us your tips for work-life fluidity. And as promised, we'll put that Fast Company article and some other things in the show notes. And we hope, if you're getting any benefit from this, that you share. Give us a nice review, maybe, if you feel so inclined to take 20 seconds. And until next time, thanks for listening to That Solo Life.